Blog Talk Radio.
La notte a Târziu,
it was very late at night.
Stăteam pe o piatră afară.
I was sitting outside on a rock.
Lui Stan i-am arătat piatra că nu a fost la mine.
As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home.
Acolo stăm și mă gândeam ce am făcut eu.
And I was just thinking, what did I do?
Plângeam să nu mă vadă familia.
I was crying so my family wouldn't see me.
Deodată am văzut că vine o lumină spre mine.
And all of a sudden I saw a light coming towards me.
Când am văzut lumina, am crezut că e o mașină.
When I saw the light, I thought it was a car.
În Italia și în România m-au urmărit cu mașina să mă omoare.
Because in Romania and in Italy they always try to run me over with cars.
După mine și aici.
So I thought they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină.
But it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit.
The light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am unde să plec.
I don't have a bed to lay my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Și m-ai adus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea.
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut nu?
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California.
Ce să arăt?
Do you see what I've shown you?
Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe
foc. And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
In one day it will burn.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Florida.
And then he showed me Florida.
Aici e Florida.
This is Florida.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And in one day it will burn.
Da, cu mine ce ai să faci?
You've been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitru Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And once again, we are here. We are live and we are ready to tackle the big important subjects like, the end of the world coming on April 23rd. Wasn't this supposed to happen last year during the lunar eclipse? Well, now somebody else is saying that April 23rd is the day we fly away to glory. Hallelujah. So if you've got plans past April 23rd, cancel them. If you're planning a family vacation and you've already bought the tickets, I'll take them just in case, you know. You never know. Maybe God's busy that day. Maybe he'll decide that his ways are not as man's ways and his thoughts are not as man's thoughts. So, you know, it won't be April 23rd after all. But we're going to get into it a little bit because it's a name that at one point was well known among the prophetic circles that is insisting that, yes, is it April 23rd or is it September 23rd? Nobody really knows. We'll see. We'll talk about it. Another thing that I think is a little more pressing, at least if we do make it past April 23rd, that is the fact that the Syria situation has effectively gotten to the point where we either have no choice but to do something very, very bad or back off and show the Russians our belly. Now, if you don't know what took place last week, there was another gas attack in Syria, and the news and the media was quick to pepper the screens with pictures of children getting their eyes washed out, etc., etc. And from where I sit, from my vantage point, there are three possible scenarios. Al-Bashir is a complete moron, which is highly unlikely given the fact that he had a brilliant Western education and that he's been able to hold the helm of Syria for quite some time. Or the Russians put him up to it to goad America into doing something it had no intention of doing up until that point. Or the third, and in my personal opinion, the likeliest thing that happened in Syria was that the rebel forces bombed their own encampments. Now, before the messages start flying and you get all a flutter, please understand that this area is tribal and barbaric. This is the part of the world where people have no qualms about putting suicide vests on 12-year-old children and sending them out into the market with a lollipop in hand. So before the outrage begins to flow, and you say, there's no way they could have done this to their own people, meaning the rebels, dare I protest and even disagree with you? Of the three possibilities, I think the one that makes most sense is that the rebels did this in order to keep America engaged. Look, I don't believe that. Just think logically through this. We announced that we were going to pull out of Syria, right? That's what Donald Trump announced 2 days before this new gas attack. So the Russians and the current power structure in Syria had already won. It was just a waiting game from this point forward. We concluded that we were going to pull out. We were leaving. We were saying goodbye. Auf Wiedersehen. We'll see you later. We can't help you if you're bent on killing each other. Why would they choose to do something that would ensure America's continued presence there? A presence that, by all accounts, is not in their best interests. You have to understand that Assad is not a moron. You don't remain the ruler of a tribal society being a moron. Look, let me put it this way. Bashar Assad is a very, very cunning political animal. I'll use the word cunning because it fits. It's apropos. He aligned himself with the Russians knowing that he could not remain in power by himself. So you can't, it's the same conundrum that the left is having trying to pinpoint Trump. Either he's a buffoon or he's a genius. You can't have it both ways. So either he mumbled and tumbled and buffooned himself into the presidency of the United States, and we should all be very wary because he may come out with a clown nose and start pushing buttons on a whim, or the man's got more than a couple brain cells rolling around up there, and he's actually pretty good at convincing people to see things his way. So Bashar Assad is said to have killed at least 70 people in a chemical attack. The question that must be asked before we start lobbing missiles, because this is getting serious. Look, I understand that right now all wars are Twitter wars until they're not. There's a very big difference between a Twitter war and an actual war, where people lose actual lives and actual limbs and actual family members. So I think that Donald Trump finally realized that real war is different than a Twitter war, so he sort of backed off a little bit. Now, again, I told you there are three possibilities. I'm trying to show you why the first is a non-starter. Bashar Assad did not launch this chemical attack because it was not politically expedient for him. There was nothing to profit from it. And it would go contradictory to the desired result of America and American troops leaving his country. The man had all but won. All that was needed was a marching band and some confetti. It's like running a marathon, and 10 feet before the finish line, you smack yourself on the knee with a hammer. People don't do that. At least not people who've had the political cunning to remain in power for so long. Now, the second possibility was that the Russians put Assad up to this, and because Bashar Assad is dependent on the Russians for his continued existence, basically, if the Russians told him to do it, he would have done it. Now, if this is the case and the Russians instructed Bashar Assad to launch another chemical attack, of the three scenarios, this worries me the most. Because it means that either the Russians are trying to pick a fight, which means that, remember a few programs ago we talked about Putin winning election again and then flexing his muscles, as it were, after the election. If the Russians put Assad up to this, then this is a pure power play. And this is a put up or shut up moment for the U.S. So either we're willing to go all out and actually start war with the Russians, basically, over Syria and this chemical attack, or we back down and Putin can beat his chest like a gorilla in heat, proving to the Russian peoples how strong he is. So this is a second possibility. This possibility is more probable than the first, that Bashar Assad all on his own decided, hey, I'm going to get the Americans to stay and make my life a living hell. Boom, 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 70 people dead. Personally speaking, I don't believe that the Russians have consolidated enough power to have instructed Bashar Assad to launch this attack. I think they're still working behind the scenes. I think that the recent, enchantments, courting, if you will. The recent courting of Turkey by the Russians is one of the things that I've been looking for, and it troubles me. But yes, courting is the word I was looking for. The recent courting by the Russians of Turkey is another piece to this, and I think the Russians have a couple more countries that they need to get on their side in order for them to hedge their bets. Look, nobody starts a war if they're certain of losing it. If you're certain you're going to lose a fight, you shut up and sit there. If you're certain a bully will clean your clock 10 times out of 10, you don't stand up to him and you don't try to pick a fight with him. So, again, Russia at this point is consolidating power and influence. It's forming its own United Nations, if you will. There's another caveat to this that, as much as I try to get away from it, it still sticks in my craw, so I have to talk about it. Anytime Lindsey the Gentleman Graham and the Maverick himself, John, I want to see war, McCain, insist on something, and they agree on something, and they're very enthusiastic about something, the good of the country is the complete polar opposite of what they want. So right now, even given his age, John McCain is all a flutter, excited if not aroused by the prospect of war again. And that should be an alarm bell to this administration, real loud alarm bell. Anytime John McCain and Lindsey Graham tell you you should go to war, take two steps back, analyze the situation, and make sure that it's not propaganda that's being fed to you. Look, I think that this entire thing is a propaganda campaign being pushed by the rebels in order to get the Americans to do their dirty work and remove Bashar Assad. Of the three possibilities, this is the most probable. This makes logical sense because the first makes absolutely no logical sense. The Americans announced they were leaving Syria. They announced they were pulling out. It was over. Bashar Assad would stay in power. The rebels would still, you know, do their thing. Because it's a region of the world that's been in conflict for thousands of years. We're not going to fix it, children. I don't care how smart Trump thinks he is. I don't care how well of a negotiator. You're not going to fix the Middle East. There is no peace. It is a cult of blood and death. It is barbaric to the utmost. And this is why, yes, I fully believe that the rebels would gladly kill 70 of their own in some dinky little village to get the Americans to start bombing Assad again. Now, as I said, Donald Trump is realizing that real war and Twitter war are very different things. And don't misunderstand me, because I know I'm going to get the letters. You have no heart. How dare you? Your heartless children are dying. No, this is the reaction they want you to have. Every time you see a hurt child, a wounded child, a dead child, Lord forbid, it's your instinct. It's instinctual that you want to punish the people who did it. It's instinctual that you want to protect children. And they're playing on this. Every other picture you see are of Syrian children receiving medical treatment after gas attacks in Douma. As of now, it is only alleged that the Assad regime carried out these attacks. I think before we get into World War III, it would be wise to have a wee bit more than just allegations. And so after the allegations that the Assad regime carried out gas strikes in Douma. This is the town that apparently 70 people died in. Trump tweeted out, Russia vows to shoot down any and all missiles fired at Syria. Get ready, Russia, because they will be coming nice and new and smart. And again, this is one of the areas where I tend to flinch a little bit, because it's one thing to bloviate and exaggerate and act tough, but you better be willing to follow through with acting tough and actually be tough. Now, the Russians stood their ground on this because, look, this thing is so suspicious. It doesn't smell. It stinks. It really does. This entire thing stinks to high heaven. The timing of it, all the pictures coming out professionally done of children getting their eyes, washed out and using breathing apparatuses. Look, be sure it's not just an allegation. And if it turns out that indeed it was Assad, where he lost his mind for an instant and decided, hey, the Americans are leaving, I'm going to get them to stay, and he bombs the town and kills 70 people, then the next question that has to be asked, and it's a serious question, and it's a question to which there is no easy answer, because I know the moralists among us, well, the answer is very easy. We take him out. Yes, we take him out. At what cost? Why is it your business to take him out half a world away? It's not your country. He's not invading your nation. So the question that you have to ask, if it is proven that indeed it was Bashar Assad or Assad Bashar or whatever his goofy name is that carried out this chemical attack, the question that has to be answered is, what price are we willing to pay? What nation are we willing to start a war with? How many American kids are we willing to see come home in body bags to try and bring peace to a nation that will never have peace? A region that is barbaric in nature. And a place we quite frankly have no business being in. Look, I understand we need to take out ISIS. They're isolated. Kill them all. But when you try to play kingmaker, when you do as the previous administration did with Gaddafi in Libya and other things, anytime you unseat a supposed despot, the narrative, isn't it? He is a bloodthirsty despot. The man has an Ivy League education. He is not a zealot by any means. I'm talking about Assad. His wife is not even a practicing Muslim. So in this context, yes, please, the more secular, the better when it comes to a Islamic nation. Sorry, that's just the way it is, because a true Muslim just wants to kill you if you're a Christian or a Jew. So between having a true Muslim as leader of Syria, one of those zealots that'll strap a suicide vest on a 12-year-old and send them to somebody's school, or Bashar Assad, him of the Ivy League education with the westernized wife, as far as an impact that it would have on my life, I'm not going to meddle. Look, we need to learn that we can't fix the world's problems. So again, back to the question, if it is proven, and as yet, again, this doesn't smell, it stinks. Character. It's illogical. It's counterintuitive. It's almost suicidal. And if somebody really is suicidal, why would they want to cling to power so much? Speaking of Assad, of course. So, I keep getting distracted. The question is this. If it is proven that Bashar Assad did order this chemical attack, are we willing to start World War III over it? Because I guarantee you, if this thing escalates and one thing leads to another, it won't just be a war that we're fighting over there, over there. And it's not going to be a war that we're fighting with a rinky-dink country like Syria who has to shut up and take it. The Russians have made it very clear that they have no intention of stepping aside. They've made it very clear that they have no intention of letting America unseat Assad without a fight. Now, I know Lindsey Graham and John McCain really want to see war. Because let's face it, John McCain's on his way out, and Lindsey Graham, well, it's Lindsey Graham. How come it's always the people that have the least probability of seeing bloodshed that are most often willing to instigate it? Lindsey Graham is not going to grab an M16 and go to Syria to kill the bad guy. Neither is the Maverick. But they sure are excited about the prospect of other people's kids going to die, huh? So that's the question that we have to answer. If it turns out that it was Assad that ordered this attack, are we willing to start World War III over it? Now, you know me, I don't like to get hyperbolic. I'm not that guy. Every time a new person comes into the administration, he's going to start World War III. At first, it was Pompeo that was going to start World War III. Now it's what? The guy who used to be ambassador, John Bolton. Next, it's going to be what? Trump's pet dog. He's going to start World War III. Look, if anyone's going to start World War III, it's going to be the Russians. They're going to instigate it. That's my biggest concern right now, that the Russians put Assad up to this to test our mettle, to see how far we're willing to go, and to see if we're willing to engage in open conflict over Syria. That is my biggest concern. As yet, it's up in the air. Donald Trump promised a response. I think it was done in haste, to be honest with you. I tell you the truth. I'll be honest with you every step of the way. And so if I see that something is a misstep or something is wrong, then I'll say it. It's the way I am. I think it was done in haste. You need to have proof. Solid, undeniable proof before you commit a nation to war. So that's where we're at. But hey, fear not. The rapture is a-coming. We're all getting out. So it doesn't really matter. That was a good segue, wasn't it? So let's read a little bit about this, because I find it fascinating that every year now there's a new rapture. So last year it was supposed to be during the solar eclipse. I made a little fun about it. Some people got angry with me. How dare I? How dare I? You'll see and you'll be sorry. And I said, look, it's a great time to start a new business. Send me $10,000 and the address where your pet will be, and in case of your rapture, I'll take care of your pet. Nobody took me up on the offer. But yeah, if you have a goldfish, a turtle, something easy, not a dog. I don't like picking up dog feces, so I can't help your dog. My wife's allergic to cats, so can't do cats either. But if you have a fish, even a rabbit, my daughter loves rabbits, a fish, a turtle, and you're planning on being raptured April 23rd, $10,000 will have a great caretaker for the rest of its life, your pet. And in case I too get raptured, I will make provision for a Lutheran to take care of the animal farm. Because let's face it, Lutherans don't believe in the rapture anyway. Ha ha. I kid. Of course I kid. But yeah, let's get into this. Because if people weren't believing this, even though they got burnt last year, and if they're not going to believe it next year, even though they got burnt this year, it would be funny. But people are believing it. And they're altering their lives. They're disrupting their lives, their families' lives. They're picking up and selling everything and doing things that will affect their families, their children, for the rest of their lives, because they believe this. According to conspiracy theorists, codes in the Bible suggest the end of the world is imminent, with Earth said to be destroyed on April 23rd. So, if you've got plans past April 23rd, I'd reconsider. All right, one theory suggests the end times dates back to astrological constellations appearing on November 23rd, matching the book of Revelation 12, 1 and 2. You know what? If Jesus spoke of numerology, I'd give it a whirl. But since he didn't, I'll take his word for it when he said, no man knows the day or the hour. So, between numerology, I know a gypsy lady that reads tea leaves. Maybe she can tell me the day of the rapture. Anywho, the passage signals the start of the rapture and the second coming of Jesus Christ. The passage, 12, 1 and 2, reads, and a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains in the agony of giving birth. It is thought, now again, so not only are we into numerology, baby, we're getting into astrology too, because ain't it fun? So it is thought that Virgo is the woman from the passage. Of course it is. Because, you know, Jesus was big into astrology too. On April 23rd, the sun and the moon will be in Virgo, as will Jupiter, which represents the Messiah. Says who? All right, let's continue. This is fascinating. Experts at first dismissed this claim when they discovered this alignment happens every 12 years. However, the conspiracy theories claim another planetary alignment representing the Lion of the Tribe of Judah will make this time the rapture. Dun, dun, dun. Christian conspiracy theorist David Mead, I do not know who this is. I do not plan on Googling him. I do not plan on listening to his teachings, because anytime we try to blend astrology and numerology and all the other fun things that the heathen do, allow me to be a little skeptical. So, Christian conspiracy theorist David Mead is the main expert suggesting the end times are here. Well, there's a difference between the end times and the rapture on April 23rd. Mr. Mead also predicts a mythological planetary system known as Planet X or Nibiru, will appear in the sky on April 23rd. Now get your binoculars ready, kids. Be the first to see Nibiru. But don't stare straight at it. You got to get yourself some, what do they call them? Eclipse glasses. He claims it will then pass the Earth in October, causing the start of the rapture with huge volcanoes and volcanic eruptions due to its gravitational force. Well, is it in October or is it April? Because I got plans. I need to know, do I have a week? What is it? Today's April 12th, so do I have 2 weeks or do I have 4 months? He said, during this time frame on April 23rd, 2018, the moon appears under the feet of the constellation Virgo. The sun appears to precisely clothe Virgo. Jupiter is birthed on April 8th, 2018. Well, we started down this rabbit hole. Might as well finish it. People have way too much free time on their hands. Wow. I wonder if you had a job, could you still come up with this nonsense? The sun appears to precisely clothe Virgo. Oh, I already read the Virgo thing. The 12 stars at that date will include the 9 stars of Leo, and the 3 planetary alignments of Mercury, Venus, and Mars. But what happened to Uranus, which combined to make a count of 12 stars on the head of Virgo? There you go. Thus, the constellations Virgo, Leo, and Serpent Ophicus. Did you know of Serpent Ophicus? You didn't. You knew something now. Represent a unique once in a century. So, what do you mean once in a century? I thought this was a once in a world planetary alignment thing. Is it once in a century? Well, now I'm kind of disappointed. Once in a century. Sign exactly is depicted in the 12th chapter of Revelation. This is our time marker. NASA NASA has debunked the existence of Planet X before, calling it a hoax. Mr. Mead stands by his story. Well, what else is he going to do? The rarity of the formation has come into question, with Jonathan Serfati suggesting the phenomena has occurred 4 times in the last millennium, and we are still here. Yes, but Virgo. In an article entitled "Would the World End on April 23rd, he said, as usual with any astrology or Christian adaptation of it, what was I saying? I hadn't even read this article. I had not read this article. I clicked on the title because I thought it was amusing and I recognized the face of a guy sitting in a chair. Like I said, he was big in the prophetic thing, Hebrew roots movement type deal back in the 90s. And it's not the Mr. Mead guy that I'm talking about. In an article entitled "Would the World End on April 23rd, he said, as usual with any astrology or Christian adaptation of it, one cherry picks the stars that fit the desired conclusion. That is a brilliant way of looking at it. There is nothing to suggest that April 23rd is a momentous date for biblical prophecy, and Christians need to be careful about being drawn into such sensationalism or sensationalist claims. We won't know the day or the hour, so we should be prepared at all times. I echo the sentiment. So, if you canceled your electricity on April 24th, if you're no longer paying your water bill because, hey, you're not going to be here anyway, should look into a payment plan. Because, yeah, Nibiru, Virgo, what was it, Mars, constellations, Venus and Mercury. Jesus was not an astrologer. He said there will be signs in the heavens. He did not say the stars will be the sign. But hey, you know, we're splitting hairs at this point because we're getting raptured. See, people who believe it, they're not even listening anymore, man. People who believe that this is actually true, again. Remember last year? Remember the letters that I read to you about people like rebuking me for not believing and threatening me that I'd be left behind and that they'd get raptured because I didn't believe? It's going to happen again this year. Likely the same people, same letters. Why must you try to kill our faith? It's a delusion. It's not faith. It's numerology mixed with astrology. Come on. We should know better. We really should. But this thing is going to have legs, I tell you, in the next 2 weeks. Everybody's going to be talking about it within Christian circles. Are you ready? Are you ready? You know, Virgo and Mercury. Oh, Lord have mercy. Now, I'm going to get to one more story, which I found to be very interesting, because I've had a lot of discussions with people I consider smarter than myself as to how it's possible for men to be cruel to the extent of Nazi Germany again. And I think this article, or at least the title of it, really does reveal the fact that the reason there is a cyclical nature to the cruelty of man is because within two generations, maybe three, the true level of the cruelty perpetrated is forgotten or diminished or dismissed. I mean, that's the best way I can put it. But first, I did get a note today. I wanted to mention this before we run out of time. Please keep Brother Douglas's wife in your prayers. Her faith is being tested again. Pray that it does not fail. I've been praying for her ever since I got the message from Brother Douglas. We know that God is able. We know that God is a God of healing. We know that God is a God of power. So just keep her in your prayers. Because God has done miracles before, and I know that he can do them again. Now, the story I referenced was, in a nutshell, I guess, let's start there. In a nutshell, 4 in 10 millennials don't know that 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust. 4 in 10. Now, of course, these are the same millennials that we're supposed to allow to berate and browbeat us into giving up our rights. These are the same millennials we're supposed to lift up as the new generation of geniuses who will show us the way to peace. This, the millennial generation that we are supposed to bow to and do as they say because they know better. 4 in 10 of these Tide Pod-eating half-tarded kids don't know that 6 million people died in the Holocaust. And I'm supposed to take you seriously when you tell me that I'm supposed to give up my rights? Let's get to the story. More than one-fifth of millennials in the U.S., 22%, haven't heard of or aren't sure if they've heard of the Holocaust, according to a study published Thursday on Israel's Holocaust Remembrance Day. The study, which was commissioned by the Conference on Jewish Material Claims Against Germany and conducted by Schoen Consulting, also found that 11% of U.S. adults overall haven't heard of the Holocaust or aren't sure if they did. I want to know if they ask that same group of millennials if they've heard of Taylor Swift, and what percentage had never heard of Taylor Swift. I guarantee you, it wouldn't be 22%. But hey, the children, listen to the children. Buffoons. Additionally, 41% of millennials believe 2 million Jews or fewer were killed during the Holocaust, the study found. 6 million Jews were killed in World War II by Nazi Germany and its accomplices. Listen to this. Let your mind be filled with sadness and woe. 2/3 of millennials could not identify in the survey what Auschwitz was. 2/3. That means 2 out of 3 identify in the survey what Auschwitz was. The survey found there are critical gaps both in awareness of basic facts as well as detailed knowledge of the Holocaust, said a news release on Friday. A majority of American adults surveyed, 70%, agreed with a statement reading, fewer people seem to care about the Holocaust as much as they used to. And 58% of Americans believe that something like the Holocaust could happen again, this survey found. Exactly. The reason something like the Holocaust could happen again is because fewer people seem to care about the Holocaust as much as they used to. If you forget the atrocities of the past, you are sure to be visited with atrocity in the future. The study on Holocaust awareness and knowledge in the U.S. was conducted between February 23rd and 27th and involved 1,350 interviews with American adults 18 and older. This study underscores the importance of Holocaust education in our schools, Greg Schneider, executive vice president of the Claims Conference, said in a statement. There remains troubling gaps in Holocaust awareness while survivors are still with us. Imagine when there are no longer survivors here to tell us their stories. But I'll bet you it wasn't 22% that didn't know who Jay-Z was. Israelis stood still on Thursday for a nationwide moment of silence in remembrance of the Jewish victims as a 2-minute siren wailed across the country, and the nation paid respect to those systematically killed. As every year on Holocaust Remembrance Day, buses and cars halted on streets and highways, and Israelis stepped out of their vehicles, standing with heads bowed in solemn remembrance. The somber day is also marked by ceremonies and memorials at schools and community centers. Restaurants and cafes in the ordinarily bustling streets of Tel Aviv shutter, and a TV and radio stations play Holocaust-themed programs. Dignitaries laid wreaths at Yad Vashem, the National Holocaust Memorial in Jerusalem. 1/3 of the world's Jews were murdered in the Holocaust. Israel was established afterward in 1948, and hundreds of thousands of survivors fled to the Jewish state. And it all began with a decree We want to make you more safe. Give us your guns. I say this as someone who does not own a gun. Understand this. I do not own a firearm. But I am a earnest enough student of history to know how every mass genocide within the last 2 centuries began. It's for your own good. It's for your own protection. Give up the thing that you are able to protect yourself with. So be aware of that. Contextualize everything you've heard tonight. On one side, you have 2/3 of millennials not knowing what Auschwitz is. You have 1/3 not knowing what the Holocaust was. And these same indolent intellectual midgets can't keep from howling in everyone's face that it's time to do something. It's time to grab those guns. Because, you know, of safety and whatnot. Hoy, anyway, it's been an interesting week. I think next week will likely be just as interesting. Because these are the times that we're living in. Are we going to go to war over Syria? I hope not. But I think that this thing has been played brilliantly by one side and not so brilliantly by the other. So we either project weakness by backing down, or we make the hasty decision to attack without having all the facts. Without determining if what occurred was just allegedly done by Bashar Assad or demonstrably proven that it was done by Bashar Assad. Very different things. Allegation and proof. See, you can allege anything. But in order for somebody to be found guilty of it, beyond a shadow of doubt. Like I said, this thing stinks. The entire timing of it makes no sense. There's absolutely no reason for them to have done it. For Assad to have gone and actually carried out an attack when the Americans announced that they were leaving his country. This needs to be weighed very carefully by people with more power and influence than me. And hopefully, cooler heads will prevail. If they do not, then the drumbeats of war have just gotten louder. And with that, I thank you all for joining us tonight. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Hopefully, you've learned something. Please, again, remember Brother Douglas's wife in your prayers. And until next time, may God bless you and may God keep you. Gino, it's all yours.
Amen. I'd like to remind everyone of the scripture when they peace, sudden destruction will come. And the Bible's very clear about setting dates. Boy, has our ministry been involved in trying to set the record straight on that one. We have, when me and Mike were touring so much of the time, Mike dealt with the Y2K thing. We had so many people call and email our ministry about Y2K. That was the big deal. You know, the rolling over of the, you know, the 2000 year AD. And we kept telling people nothing's going to happen. And they almost looked shocked as if something were going to happen and we were off base. And I know that we went to many places where Mike got that question. Are you all ready and prepared for Y2K? And I would be observing him trying to calmly tell the people that we're buying tons of food, and even to the point that I believe some people bought, you know, I'd have to research it better, but I think they were even selling some form of especially aluminum or metal plated undies and long johns, if you believe that one. But we heard it all, and guess what? Nothing happened. Wasn't hardly a blip on the radar. Last year, as Mike said, some people were predicting the end of the world. That's been, for the last 10 or 15 years, a very popular deal for many. And then you've got the flat earth people, which we get emails and calls about that, the flat earth. Yet from space, you can clearly see the earth is round and et cetera, not flat. You know, you can go online and look at the live feed of the International Space Station, and there's a curvature of the earth. But there's a lot of Christians that believe in the flat earth theory. You know what? While the lost are going to hell and many people are, you know, slipping into eternity daily, you've got to admit that is a very lame thing to do, to get caught up in believing the earth. And God help us to, you know, listen to the watchmen that are blowing a trumpet and telling us to get back to Christ and the Bible and repentance and not get caught. What's the Bible say? In the last days, they will be involved in fables, you know, fables. And that's what this is. And, you know, just stick to the word of God and that only, and let that be your guide, your beacon of hope, and where you get your truth from, because there's a lot of error out there. And I believe strongly that our ministry has been called to speak the truth and raise the banner of what truth is, and the truth is in God's word. And that's exactly what Mike spoke tonight, that we need to be careful we don't follow these fables and these erroneous predictions. So with that, my little ending to confirm so much of what Mike and I have seen over the years, and Handy Help has heard from others mentioning these things, I pray tonight's program was a blessing to you, and may God richly strengthen you and bless your evening. God be with you.